When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's going to be very interesting. So it depends on what the people want to see. And remember that they're always going to be second choice.
I don't think men should have ever been criticized for not supporting women. Any sport. Right? Like, that's our choice. Women could have easily supported the WNBA long time ago. All the feminists should have been there. And they could have supported it. What they have supported is all these Real Housewives spinoffs.
What up, what up, what up, what up? It's Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. We're here with a special episode, a live episode. I'm Tavares Ferguson, a.k.a. Ferg, everybody's favorite bad guy. Join my co-host, better yet, sitting here with my co-host, Yo. Buff and Rizzy. Fellas, take it away.
It's always a special occasion when we can be here in person together, man, so... For those of you that don't know, we're in Birmingham right now at Rizzy Crib, getting ready to go to this Rick Ross and National Symphony concert later on. We hoping it's good. Even if it ain't, man, we together. We going to have a ball no matter what, man. So,
most definitely.
It started last night.
Yeah. Man, after some terrible undercard fights, the main event delivered, man. And that was a hell of a fight. Hope y'all saw it. It was on the Zone pay-per-view, we'll leave that part out, how we watched it.
We watched the fight.
Yeah, we watched the fight. That's all that matters, man.
Oh, and is that how you say it? The Zone? I've been calling it Dazen.
Dazen. Nobody knew how to pronounce it when it first came out. They finally called it the Zone. But yeah, man, let's, I guess we get into it. I got a couple of things. One, I thought this was interesting. A lot of people, you know, everybody's struggling with their weight these days. A lot of people have tried the keto diet. Studies are showing that the keto diet helps mental health. Like, they had, I believe it was like 26 different patients. 13 of them stayed strict with it. 13 of them didn't, in a mental health facility. Man, they saw improvements in things like schizophrenia and all type of things. So it's an initial test, but I think that's kind of interesting, because the debate on whether or not keto is good or bad for you has been out there. So that was kind of a win for keto.
Have they done this with other diets? I wonder.
I don't know.
And I can be completely off base. Like, I'm thinking...
Losing
weight and mentally focusing on something.
Yeah.
You know, strengthens the mind. You know, anytime... That's why Daniel fast, all this stuff. It's not just about losing weight and all this stuff. It's about, you know, trying to... It's that discipline and, you know... It's a kind of way of, you know, self-control and all that. So I don't know. So anything like that, because I have heard the bad things about keto, but there's everything's bad.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting, man.
You gonna start a keto diet?
I'm trying. I struggle with my weight, man, but it's hard to pick something that you can stick with long term. Like, I feel like I can do keto for maybe a week or two. But what's the good in that if you're going to go right back to... And I love carbs, so...
Whoever invented carbs... Dude, that's the thing. When I did have a personal trainer, he's like, Ferg, if you just ate healthier... It's not I ate unhealthy, but healthier.
Man. Yeah, yeah.
He said, you would be a beast. And I'm like, shit, they don't get what they get then.
I got the workout part down. It's just the eating, man. But we'll see, you know. I always think about Wu whenever I discuss anything politics ever since that show. But so Biden, what was it, last year or so, he passed an infrastructure bill. And within that bill, Wu, there was some money set aside to bring broadband internet to the remaining rural areas that don't have it. What I found interesting about this is the telecom companies, in that bill, Biden wants them to cap how much they charge. So the telecom companies are like, hey, we want the money, but we want you to tell us, we want to still be able to charge how much we want to charge, man. So they can't get the money unless they agree to cap. And I think the Biden administration says, look, let's at least keep it at $30 a month for some of these areas. And they're fighting back against that. So they want the money, but they don't want to follow the rules. And some of them are saying, well, we just won't even worry about it. And that's important, man, because as time goes on, internet is extremely, extremely important. And the only other thing I got, man, is Becky Pepper Jackson. She is a middle school transgender girl who just won a case. Oh, man, I forgot the state. I think it's Kansas or Ohio. It's one of those. It's a state. It's one of the 50 states. But she won a rare case because it's like a conservative state. But they said that she is allowed to compete with male students in sports because she has all, I'm sorry, with female students, because she has been taking puberty blockers since she was 10 and things like that. And so they said in this specific case, she has not experienced the male hormone advantage that people like to bring up. So they're not excusing it for all transgenders, but for this particular case, they're saying, Becky, yes, you can compete with girls because you don't have the advantage. And that's going to be interesting as more and more, I guess we're dealing with more and more of these cases,
right,
as time goes
on. So the state is West Virginia. It's very interesting because, you know, part of the big debate about transgender and to transition for kids is how early is too early, right? Mm-hmm. So if that is now the new norm, it's like, do you start them earlier so they can compete,
take advantage, right?
You know, and all that. So are we setting a new precedent?
Yeah.
And you're going to, I'm anticipating a lot of backlash from that because there's going to be the groups that are going to say they're still young, their minds are still developing. How do they know that this is what they want to do long term? Because you're saying 10, so some people want to start at 8, 9, and it's going to be...
I think it's a little different, like, transitioning versus the puberty blocking, because if you think about it, like, you come off the puberty blocking pills and you're going to go through puberty, right? There's not a lot of difference if you look at, like, child athletes, like real athletes, like gymnasts and things like that. They usually don't have a period until, or especially women, they don't have periods and they don't hit puberty until they... realistically, until they stop the professional sports.
Okay.
So, like, Simone Biles, I think, said she didn't have her first period till she was, like, 17.
Ooh, wow.
So, you know, it's, like, because they're I guess, especially with female athletes, because they are kind of working out so much and everything, their body is producing testosterone and everything along with that, with them working out so heavily, that it does block them going through puberty.
And, but we're looking at the reverse, though, right? We're looking at somebody who's born a male saying we're blocking their testosterone.
Mm-hmm. So they can compete
with they can compete with women. And so now it's you start blocking, you know, the child's testosterone earlier. So to make sure you hit that, you know, that window so that person doesn't mature or whatever. So there's gonna be some studies have done with it, you know, because what's the long term effect and all that stuff. So
speaking of that, I invite people to look up the CASS review, CASS review, and it goes in depth about that. But one other thing on this is a recent update, Becky Pepper Jackson competed in the shot put and the rival team, the students withdrew. from competition. They refused to compete against her. So,
yeah, and that's a whole nother. Yeah. I mean, that's a. This could be a topic on its own. So,
That's all I got, man.
Yeah. What you got for us, Rosie?
Speaking of immaturity, Donald Trump hush money trial is on. It's on and popping. So, homie went and fell asleep during the trial. But the cool thing is that it's actually moving pretty quickly. They seated all the jurors within a week, which all the pundits, everybody was expecting it to last at least 2 weeks, it maybe even more. And the trial actually starts Monday. So Trump was trying to, or his team was trying to kind of delay, figure out how they could. Trump wants to go to the Supreme Court when they hear his immunity thing on Thursday. And the judge was like, no, you're a criminal defendant. This isn't just a civil trial that we can just delay or whatever. It's like, no, we're not. And you have to be here for it. And so he can't go to the Supreme Court, which there was no reason for him to go anyway, other than to look people in the eyes and see how they vote type thing. But they're starting on Monday and the trial will start. And it's going to be interesting because these are felony charges. And like we talked about last week, if he is convicted before the election, he won't be eligible, even if he wins some states and things like that. So it's going to be really, really interesting. My prediction was that Biden was going to win because Trump became a felon and can't become the president. So
that's going to be interesting because I think that brings on possibly an individual multiple state battle. If he's found guilty and he is a convicted felon, I think you're going to have states that say, no, this was politically driven. We're still putting him on our ballot. Federal government, we dare you to stop us. This is uncharted territory. I don't know what happens with that. Who gets the final? We said, no, he can't be. If you put him on this ballot, then
your electoral votes don't matter.
They're not going to count. Yeah, things like that.
Yeah.
I don't know, because you have people from both sides that control these entities. So even if he's found guilty, I just don't think that's the final nail. Yeah.
So does that roll up to the Supreme Court then? How are they going to handle that?
And probably does, which they have a 6-3 advantage. Three of them are people he personally picked.
But can they make a legitimate argument? Even
they really can't.
The Supreme Court, they don't have to.
Right, that's true. They can do what they want to do. Yeah,
and they can explain it, and we don't have to agree with it, but they get the final say.
Yeah, but when it comes down to, I think the states can put him on their ballots because that's up to them. But you're talking a federal election when you talk about the president, and like you say, the federal electors can say no, you can't vote for him in the Electoral College. Because he is a felon and he's ineligible.
And what he doesn't have this time, which still didn't work out for him in 2021, what he doesn't have this time is a vice president that he can tell, count these or don't count these.
So right.
It has to be counted in Congress. And that is a whole thing too. So it's all interesting, man.
The bigger question is, how did we get here? Listen to what we're talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about who's a better candidate. We're talking about if the potential future president, potential future former president of the United States is going to be a felon and allowed to run for presidency.
I mean, we mentioned this a lot on this show. I would say we got here by racism, be honest.
Yeah.
We really did. If you look at who was the previous president, and how that stoked a certain segment of this country. And then you had the personification in 45 that breathed life into that and say, hey, what you're feeling is correct. No longer feel ashamed of that. Rizzy famously said, or maybe it was my co-host Frank on my other podcast, said they don't think 45 is racist, but racist thinks he's racist.
Mm-hmm.
It was Rizzy. Yeah. Rizzy said that. So that's how we got here. And he has a hold on his electorate that even he said he shoots somebody in the middle of Times Square, he wouldn't lose support.
Is it just racism?
It's not just, but it starts with. Mm-hmm. It starts with.
Yeah. So it's just you guys see how we get worked up about this. We love talking about this because it's really interesting to us. So hopefully we made it make sense to you guys. Couple other things that I had, man. The Good Times reboot is out there. Did you guys watch it?
No.
Good. I did not either. I refuse.
I didn't even want to give it a click.
It looks so bad, man. And I'm so ashamed of, like, Steph Curry, executive produced it. Like, there's some big black names associated with it.
Did they see it beforehand?
I don't know.
Did he just put his name on it? Right.
He had to, like, see it and see the pitch and all that. But I think they probably, because Seth MacFarlane is actually producing it, right? So, and if you guys don't know who Seth MacFarlane is, he does Family Guy, American Dad, all of those. And so more than likely what happened is he was like, I'm going to make an American Dad with a black family. Or that probably was something of the pitch when he went to Steph for the money to do this. And, you know, we're going to reboot Good Times because the name's out there. People know it or whatever. We're going to have some history of it. But it's bad on every racist trope that you can think of. They hit on and not in a Boondocks way where we're making fun of it in a healthy way. Right. Because we have Huey there as a foil to Riley. Right. Mm-hmm. And to be able to kind of call out those things. They don't have that on this show. So it really is just leaning into the racist tropes and stereotypes and trying to make fun of it. So I don't know if black writers were on this or if it was just his American Dad writer's room that were trying to make black jokes. And that's probably the reason the Cleveland show, failed for the same reasons. I think we were watching the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles reboot or whatever. And we were talking about how it felt like there was 40-year-old people trying to write for teenagers. And I think that's exactly what this show is. It's 40-year-old white guys trying to write for, not even 40, I'd probably say 50-year-old white guys trying to write for black America and try to be like clever. And it just does not work, man.
It made me think though, Good Times as we know it, if it were to premiere today for the first time, I was wondering would we let that fly? Because a lot of people, even back then, before we became, I think we've gotten more and more conscious over the years, but even back then, people had a problem with JJ's character. Revisionist history tells us that people had a problem with Florida and how she had that respectability politics angle with her. So I wonder would we even let that fly, but that cartoon, from what I saw, looked over the top.
It is.
I always ask, who was the audience that they created this for? Mm. Sometimes you have to realize it wasn't for us, you know?
True.
It's going to be, you know, that original Good Times wasn't meant to be played in 2024, right? I don't think anybody thought, like, I wonder how this is going to hold up
right
50 years from now.
Yeah.
It was about just getting things on the air. And in a world where all these reality shows and stuff like that I lose faith in humanity sometimes watching these and seeing these things. But it's like, that show wasn't for me. It's just, you know, so maybe there's an audience for this. I don't know who they are. I probably don't hang with them. But when I heard about it, I already had mixed reviews because I'm not a fan of Good Times at this stage in life. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was younger, you know, JJ was funny, mm-hmm. right? But as an adult with more exposure and more options to watch, I'm not entertained by Good Times at all. And this, you know, I heard there was like a baby was selling crackers.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know. When there's a black baby selling crack, I mean, that alone, mm-hmm. it turned me off.
Right.
And that's like, I don't agree with the people with some of the criticisms of the original Good Times. I mean, it's criticism to be said, but I viewed it as, hey, we had the Cosby Show, upscale black family. This show, a lower income black family, but it had a strong father. Nobody was into drug dealing or Chicago, and they was in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So none of them were involved. Like Thelma wasn't some teenage single mom being fast and stuff. It had a lot of strong elements.
Okay,
in it.
Agreed.
I do get some of the criticism it got. JJ was a bit over the top, but like you say, he was funny back then.
Right.
So I just want to put that out there too.
Yeah, I think my biggest thing with it, and I agree with that, it was not. JJ was the comic relief, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was the being so content with the status quo. And it seems like a lot of self-sabotage within the family. It's.
I mean, but I don't think they were content because they always were trying to get out, right? That was the whole point. Like James trying to find a job and trying to hold the job down because they wanted to get out. I don't think they were content living there, and they knew what the situation was, but they were making the best of it. And I mean, coming from those types of areas and in those types of situations, you make the best of it. We talk about it sometimes, like we didn't know we were poor until we weren't poor anymore.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? like as a kid, you like, oh, we found something on the side of the road. We bringing that in the house and cleaning that up. Maybe let's do it.
But then, at the same time, and I'm not saying us, when you look back on our upbringing, and if you're more critical, you will see some of the self-sabotage that, you know, we don't want to call our parents out. We don't want to mm-hmm. call the people that we love out, our grandmothers and stuff like that. But there was a lot of things that they were doing that created, not necessarily in our situation, but that created that the results that they saw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Florida Evans, you know, at one point was a revered Black mother. And now when you go back and look at it, she was the saboteur.
Right.
She was the person that, you know, that when they had an option, when they yeah. wanted to, you know, we go back to Black mothers not working and all this. She at no point did she, I think she tried once, right? At one point, did she try to work or something?
I think so. I can't remember.
You know, mm-hmm. but it was that.
Didn't she get like fired because like she was too high and mighty for what yeah. was happening at the job? Yeah.
Yeah.
And look, when it first came out, it was a top 10 Netflix show. Is no longer in the top 10, so that makes me happy. It is still trending, but that's probably because it's a new show, but it's yeah. not in Netflix's top 10, so I'm happy about that.
I think it was just like the newness. Everybody was like, okay, I gotta see this, and they'll watch an episode and maybe watch the second one, because maybe the first one wasn't what I, because what Family mm-hmm. Guy, the first time I watched Family, just the theme song and everything, I just knew I was gonna watch, I was gonna hate this show, and I ended up watching it randomly years later. I think Family Guy almost got canceled.
Canceled mm-hmm. like, and I think then, two times.
Then when people started watching it, it was, this show is freaking awesome.
Yeah,
it so, is.
Mm-hmm.
Same, I had the same.
And maybe we're being too critical. Maybe it's, you know, if Good Times was a white family and the white baby was selling crack and stuff like that,
we'll be laughing out.
There's a lot of stuff that goes on in Family Guy that's just off the wall that we're okay with, but it's a touchy subject.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm definitely judging it from a place of ignorance. Like, I haven't watched an episode, so.
And I won't. Roger, you like watching crazy stuff. Watch it for us and let us
all
know.
Right, all right. I'll bootleg it so that they don't get the click.
Yeah.
And then I can report on it. There you go. Right, that's what we'll do.
What else you got for us?
Yeah, we talk. What else you got, man?
That's it. I'll save everything else. Were we going to talk WNBA? Is that the question?
I do want to. I think this is something we can talk about more than once. Because I do plan on getting some guests to come talk about that.
Okay.
But I will open up with congrats to the 2024 WNBA draft class.
Yes.
You know, it was the most watched by far WNBA draft ever. I think they got 12 million viewers or something like mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. And the next highest was like 600,000.
Yeah. So they're in a good place. So congrats to all of them. I know there's a lot of topic. It's funny how things can always be an issue, but media can change it to being the hot topic.
Mm-hmm.
Like the salary. We've been talking about WNBA salary for years, and all of a sudden you have everybody coming out the woodwork talking about it, including current President Biden. who had a post saying, "Women in sports continue to push new boundaries and inspire us all. But right now, we're seeing that even if you're the best, women are not paid their fair share. It's time that we gave our daughters the same opportunities as our sons and ensure women are paid what they deserve."
Yep, that sounds like a Democratic talking point. That whole fair share thing, they love to kind of use that one. Because I don't know if we'll get into it in the question or not, because women in the WNBA are paid their fair share. Actually, they're paid higher than their fair share of their revenues based on what the men are paid in the NBA. So we can kind of get into that now. We can get into it later.
I mean, if y'all want to take it there, we can. Like I said, with the guests there, I think this is a good time to talk about it. Because I get that with the guests there, I don't want to talk about should women be paid more or anything. I want to talk about the progression and what they would like to see and how do we improve. So I think that's where I would want to go. So if we want to go ahead and jump into that question, but first, we want to get...
Sober down? Yeah, let's do it. She got a joke for us. Sober! You outside?
Yeah? I'm going to fuck back a little bit.
Hey,
well, we don't have Cam on today, so.
Yeah, and I got husbands. All right. Why do gophers wear two pairs of pants?
Gophers wear two pairs of pants.
Goldfish?
Gophers. Like
golfers.
Golf.
In case they get a hole in one.
Hey, I think we would have got that. I thought it was gophers.
Okay.
I don't know how to pronounce gophers.
Golfers.
That was good.
That was pretty good.
That's a good one.
I might have got it. I think I would have got it.
You would have got it if I said it correctly, but I didn't.
Yeah. All right, take the mohawk.
Bam.
So, thank you, ma'am.
Just like Storm, we're going to give you a 40-inch bust down later on. You don't even know what a 40-inch bust down is, do you?
I don't, but I'm very excited.
As you should be.
Storm boy, that was magical.
Yeah, let's take a step back, man. X-Men 97 is giving me everything I want.
Yeah,
it is. I tell people it is a show. I think they did it perfectly to the point where you get the nostalgia you want, right? They pick up where the X-Men yesteryear left off. But the themes are more adult for the people who watched X-Men in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, if it would have been, because if you go back and watch, and I think we were saying this beforehand, one of my reviews of going back and watching the old X-Men, like, it didn't hold up well. You know, but this, the themes are more adult. I mean, the character arcs, everything so far is just on point. You see all the things you wanted to see as a, you know, as an adult going back and watching this, like, okay, this should have been deeper. I want to explore this more so. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Cyclops has one of the best hero landings ever. Mm-hmm. I think he could be on the Mount Rushmore hero landings, because, you know, that superhero landing is a thing.
Yep.
And he's perfected.
Man, that optic blast coming down, dropping out of the sky, it was so good.
And then, me, my X-Men.
So, but yeah, man, it's like you talk about the audience just a little bit in good times, right? I think they know who the audience is, mm-hmm. and it's not 10-year-old kids watching Saturday morning cartoons or whenever X-Men came on back in the day, right? It's people that were 40 or 10 years old 25 years ago. Right. So it's the 35, 40 year old folks that is the audience now. And they're making the show for them, but the kids can watch it too. And I think just cartoons and storytelling in general has evolved. They're not making an X-Men show like it was back in the day. Like, kids these days at 10 and 11 can watch blood on a cartoon. Right, they can watch people die on a cartoon. It's not like back in the day where nobody could die. They couldn't use a gun. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no blood could be had, right? There's no death. So there were so many rules back in the day on what they could put on Saturday morning cartoons or primetime cartoon shows that they don't have to deal with now. And the comic book geeks back in the day used to always say that, right? Like, look, the X-Men, yeah, it's good, but the comics are much better because you have all this other stuff. Where before, now you're getting to see it. You're getting to see what we saw when we were reading the comics. Like, Cyclops isn't a Sabu. Like, he actually is pretty cool if you really think about it. And so now we're starting to see what we all knew there. And I'm just excited, man. Like, they're introducing all the characters. This last episode was great, but I'm just excited, man. But you binged it too. How you liking it?
I'm liking it. I'm liking it. Okay. I pissed off some of my coworker nerd friends. I said Cyclops was useless. But I feel like that's the fault of the movies that he's been portrayed in. And even in this cartoon, it's like he shoots his laser, it just knocks the person down, but they get back up. I understand. But
so who's your favorite character then?
But did you not see the I-Beam moonwalk?
No.
The I-Beam moonwalk alone.
The first episode.
In the first episode.
Okay. First 5 minutes when he was.
But yeah, Wolverine and Magneto are my favorite two.
In the show or just in general?
In the show, in the movie, in general. I'm definitely Team Magneto.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I can't stand Professor X. but yeah, it's good writing. I think you nailed it. It gives you the 90s feel because the cartoon really, it's like looking at a 90s cartoon. But the storyline, like that episode 5, man, like I went back and watched it twice. Like it was that good to me. That whole storyline of Rogue and what's my man with the cards?
Gambit.
Yeah. Gambit and Magneto. That was dope. That was super dope, man. They was in their bag on that episode, man.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just happy they made Jubilee look Asian. I didn't know she was Asian.
Yeah,
on the show.
Yeah.
I did not know she was Asian at all. And so until recently, last couple of years or something, I think I was reading up on it. And it's like, who knew Jubilee was Asian?
Yeah.
Maybe it was just me.
Whole name, Jubilee Asian Lee, and you still didn't know. like Lee is her last name, but you just, it never clicked. Because, yeah, she didn't look Asian in the 90s. So good that they're doing that. It's more multicultural, all of that. Like, the producer, he said that, like, episode 5, he reached back to, like, the Tulsa Massacre and all of that as his inspiration for episode 5 and the attack on Genosha and everything like that. So, I mean, just all of that, man, it's relevant, it's poignant to today. I love how the MAGA folks can't look at the Friends of Humanity in X-Men 97 and be like, oh, is that what we look like? Yes, that's what y'all look like. That's exactly what y'all look like. Y'all are Friends of Humanity. So don't be like, oh, I love this show. And they try to call out X-Men like being woke. Like, X-Men wasn't always woke. Like, the whole premise of X-Men was y'all hated them because they were mutants and they're trying to defend themselves.
Yeah, this new militant Cyclops, I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Even the fact that they made Bishop look more... I used to hate Bishop's hair. Bishop had a damn S-curl back in the day.
Right. From a dystopian future. Like, where you getting S-curl? Yeah. Like, where you from?
So, well, let's go ahead and jump into it. How do y'all want to do this then?
Do we want to just keep on this WNBA thing? Yeah. I'll make that my question. So do y'all think... first of all, like, are you enjoying the WNBA and the attention they're getting? And then go into this whole question of, are women actually paid correctly?
I don't know if I'm enjoying the WNBA because I haven't watched it yet.
but women's basketball.
But Ferg, he asked, you know, would this excitement from college transfer to the WNBA? So far, it's a yes. If you look at the numbers on how many people watch the draft, if you look at how now people are paying attention to what these women are actually getting paid, if you look at how, I know in Washington, we have the Mystics. They have now pretty much every team that the Indiana Fever are playing, that's who drafted Caitlin Clark. Every team they're playing, that WNBA team has moved their game to the small arena they usually play in to the big arena. And in the case of Washington, they play in like what looks like it looks like about a 2,000. That may be underestimated. It looks like a 2,000-seat arena. They're moving that game to the Capital One Arena, which I think holds like 19,000. So that excitement has transferred so far. Now they just got to, you know, do it on the court, and I think the fans will stay. Your second part of the question, are they getting paid enough?
Yeah.
So here's the thing. This is the 27th year of the WNBA. They've never made a profit. They've largely been subsidized by the NBA. So when I saw their actual salary, I was a little shocked by it. I was like, wow, that's really not a lot at all. But the top stars are going to be taken care of. What I find, it's hard for me to kind of like have a tough opinion either way because I haven't paid the WNBA any attention. But it is funny to me how all of a sudden people are acting like it's a crime now because their darling, Caitlin Clark, they're seeing how much she's going to make. Now it's a problem when there have been people screaming that it's been a problem for years. But like you
including people who are playing and getting paid.
Yes.
Not even people who, neither one of them, none of these women we're talking about have made a single dime in the WNBA yet.
So, but Caitlin Clark will be taken care of. She got the State Farm contract, Gatorade, Nike.
Nike just signed it for six figures, right?
She's going to be good. With that said, I don't know the exact numbers. I just know the WNBA hasn't made a profit, so it's hard to ask for more money when your league, your entity, isn't making a profit. But I will say, welcome to equality, ladies. Now people are complaining about things like your salary. In men's sports, we say people are overpaid all the time. You know what I mean? So I hope y'all are ready for the bad that comes with equality. Because y'all want all these men to support your sport? Okay. With that comes a whole lot of BS.
Yep.
Because when we get into sports, we get into sports. So if you don't want your favorite woman superstar being criticized or talked about, you're going to wish we never showed it. Because we're going to be saying, man, they paying Caitlin all that money and she can't even make a layup. Bum. keep in mind, we still have people that call LeBron James a bum. Dude made it to 10 NBA finals, 1-4, all-time leading scorer. There are still people that call him a bum. Don't think Caitlin Clark is going to be the exception.
Oh, no. She will be because she's protected. You can't have that same judgment
on her
just because you can't. If you talk about just female athletes, period, like you are hating. It's sexism. It's something like that. It's just even the fact that men aren't, there are a lot of men who aren't interested in women's sports. You know, we're sexist. You know, if she becomes a bum or whatever, if she just doesn't live up to the hype, we just got to shut up and just keep on going. So, because I don't think you can talk about it. Stephen A. Smith cannot get on there and just overly criticize.
It's going to be interesting to see.
You know, think about it. And I think that's part of the appeal of sports is for those that can't play, we get to talk about it. We get to have our opinion on it. Now you have every avenue in the world to.
Will women analysts be able to criticize her?
Possibly, but then they'll be, you're hating, you know? Just like if a black analyst analyzes a black player and it seemed like he becomes Uncle Tom because if he's overly
negative,
critical of them. And I think that's part of sports is you're able to pick who you like and who you don't like. Even the fact that and I don't know if we're ready to have open conversation about our opinions of female athletes and stuff like that, because even with Angel Reese, the way they criticized her was sexist, and it was right. I mean, you know, like the way they criticized LSU, like it was.
I think it's the what type of criticism, right? We call out folks when they tell LeBron to shut up and dribble and stuff like that. It's like if you're criticizing them about something that has nothing to do with the sport, that's when people have an issue. I don't think there's going to be an issue for somebody to be like, hey, Caitlin needs to learn how to drive in better because, you know, she's not getting into the paint, blah, 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 blah. I think if they become critical of her game, it'll be okay.
But fans are emotional.
Fans are emotional. That's what happened with Angel was that they started talking about what she looked like and you know, oh, she's not acting like a, you know, winner and this, that, and the other and not being a good sport. Sportsman, sports person, sports woman. I don't know what we say now.
Athlete.
So, you know, that type of thing is what we're going to have to walk that line. And I actually hate that you have to bring in a woman pundit or announcer so that they can talk about what's happening in women's sports or whatever. Like, the sport isn't the sport. Like, so, Stephen A. should be able to call out Caitlin.
So there shouldn't be any women analysts, Rosie?
No, I think it should be any. No, I didn't say no. Like, there should be. There should be. I think that it shouldn't be the women have to talk about. Because I didn't like that there were no men at the women's Final Four. So and they only had women announcing, right? Like, there's something to be said about, hey, let's just have some gender equality there. And I think a woman should be on the panel on the NBA just as much as I think it should be some men being able to do that, right?
But you're gonna have people say she can't relate to the game. It and I agree with you. It's a Saturday Night Live special waiting to happen, segment waiting to happen. I can already see where they're gonna be talking about it. It's gonna be a spoof of SportsCenter or First Take or something like that. And so down to the NBA. Annie, what do you think about women playing basketball? You know, everything that has is going to just go straight to that because we're so fearful of being able to have conversations and stuff like that. It's going to be rough a little bit in the beginning to get to equality. So the first question was, what are they making?
Are you enjoying it? Like,
I think I like the fact that we're talking about it more. I don't like the fact that we're talking about it for the wrong reason. We're not talking about the athleticism. We're not talking about the fun of the game and the growth of the skill set within the WNBA. We're talking about, can they do it? Are people going to watch it? Are they making enough money? You know, any publicity is good publicity, right? You know, it might be unfair because people are tuning in to see if the hype is real. And so their expectations might be way higher than the actual product.
Yeah.
And it's unfair to the WNBA. It's unfair to the athletes to be put on this, you know, this honestly can make or break the WNBA, right? It's if you're ever going to be hot, this is the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a lot of pressure. It's going to be a lot of stuff like that. But I'm interested. I want to see where it goes. I mean, this is the first time in my life where I'm like, who's going to be my WNBA team?
Mm-hmm. Well, me and Rosie, we have one. But I do
think
it's fair to have that pressure on them and for us to tune in and see if the athleticism and the skill and everything is there. I do think it's fair. You've demanded, not you, but people have demanded that we should watch it and it's a great game. And okay, now we're paying attention. Show us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what all sports have to do. Show us.
Yeah. And what's funny is, as much as they say they want equality, I'm not saying the NBA, they're blaming men. I feel like there is a conversation that men aren't supportive of the sport and stuff like that. I don't think, Byron kind of hit on this, I don't think the sport's prepared for the male expectation.
Right.
Or the male fanship, fanhood, whatever it is. Because it goes back to this segment I saw, Kev on Stage, Birmingham native, shout out to Kev on Stage, hilarious comedian, where he bought a full Wally jersey from, she plays for the South Carolina Gamecocks.
Mm-hmm.
He ordered an extra large and he got an extra large. But guess what it was?
A women's extra large.
Mm. Because they don't make the jerseys for men because you're not the intended audience. But they want us to be the fans. Like, you should be fans. So if they expected us to be fans, there should be a line of clothing for potential male fans. Maybe he just ordered the wrong brand. Maybe he ordered Adidas jersey and Nike has it. I don't know. But when I order stuff, you know.
Yeah, they gotta. That's something the NFL had to come to terms with. Like, they make female.
They had to readjust.
Yeah.
And until that wasn't always the case. It was right. Recent. Yeah. You know, I remember the first time I saw a and it might have been, what was her name? The pink Tony Romo jersey when he was dating Jessica Simpson. Mm-hmm. That was the beginning of the end. I'm like, Lord, you know, pink Cowboys jerseys, you know. But that was a thing. So they have to recognize if that's real for them. But as far as are they being paid enough? Here's a couple of things I looked up. So they played 36 games. So that's about 3 to 4 months, mm-hmm. right? We saw that some of those salaries between $70,000, $75,000 a year. So in 4 months, you make $70,000, $75,000
a year. Well, maybe six-ish, right? You have camp and practice and everything before the season starts and all of that.
Season starts tomorrow, I mean, in a week.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you're talking about the draftees, but everybody else, okay. They were already in training camp, okay. Right?
Half a year.
Yeah.
$60,000, $70,000, you know. They haven't made a profit in 27 seasons. This will be their 28th season. On average, I think for the last, call it 8 to 10 years, they've averaged about $10 to $12 million in loss. And I hate to say it like this, is if you look at business, and if you are a division in any other company, and you don't turn a profit in 27 years, you would be disbanded.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, and I know there's going to be some backlash and I hope we don't get canceled. I don't agree where it has to go. But if you just look at it from a business standpoint, the WNBA and its salaries are nothing but donations. It is a donation from the NBA. It is similar to a charity, or at best a nonprofit. There is no real upside from a business standpoint. And even if saying, hey, we want women to have a platform to play, we want to honor female athletes, which I think is right, it's still when it comes to being a business, that's a charitable donation. We're donating $10 to $12 million of our income, of our profit to fund this organization. And to ask these, you know, and then who pays the salaries? The WNBA doesn't pay the salaries, right?
Yeah, the WNBA does, but basically, like you're saying, the NBA is going to fund any shortfalls that they have.
So, but like, who pays the salaries for the NBA players?
Oh, the owners?
So, this is not even the owners. This is the NBA, just like I'm saying, this is, you know, the Mavericks, the owner of the Mavericks pays, Mark Cuban pays for the Mavericks salary.
Mm-hmm.
It's the entity of the NBA who's paying these salaries. And you're saying, hey, we're demanding you to pay more.
So a couple of ways to look at this is, one, you mentioned they're coming into the 28th season. I feel like you got to look at that the same way you would look at where the NBA was in, say, the late 1970s and what their salaries were. And also, I think the WNBA supporters would say, okay, yeah, we've lost this money each year, but we haven't had the investments that the NBA and the other male sports have had. We haven't had the same amount of coverage. If you put the coverage and the money into it, you will start seeing. That's what they would say, that they haven't gotten the same attention and coverage that male sports have gotten. So
They did 27 years ago when they started. Yeah. They did 26 years and 25 years ago when they started. But there was a whole lot of... I remember that. I remember
the commercials. We got next.
Yeah.
That was the slogan.
It was
right after the NBA season.
All of that, man. Like, they put a bunch of money into trying to grow it. And it just... But I look at it like... And to you know, me answering the question, I am super enjoying it. To Buff's comment where he said... If it's good, we'll watch, right? And it's that. It's I like it, and I hate to say it. There were superstars, right? We had our Dawn Staleys and we had our Lisa Leslies and everything. There were superstars and there were super athletic women back in the early days of the WNBA. But I liken it to looking at those all pre-black white basketball leagues mm-hmm. where you might have one or two standouts and everybody else, the competition wasn't really there mm-hmm. where it's like, oh my God, I really want to watch this game. It looked like, you know, late high school guys games where you're like, I can see the talent there, but they're making a bunch of mistakes. It's like, mm-hmm. it's not as exciting and everything. Mm-hmm. I think that's where they were back then. And I always talk about Title IX and how proud I am that Title IX actually worked, because what Title IX did is all that money that they said you have to start investing in women's sports as well with it. And like that, where you're putting money into it, you're developing these girls. That's why you're seeing the Angel Reese's and the Caitlin Clarks and everything, because they had Pop Warner ball or whatever it is. They had youth sports where they had just as much attention and everything all the way through their 18, 19 years of playing ball versus those girls that had to play with the boys when they could out in the backyard and everything, because there was no league for them to go play, right? The one or two girls that was good enough to play on the boys team in Little League, they played, but everybody else just had to play in the neighborhood until they got to high school maybe. I think that's where you're seeing the big difference there. You're seeing that talent level just go where not the standout stars are super talented and everybody else is just okay. You're seeing where the entire squad are beasts. And so your standouts have to be that much more better, but everybody, so the game is more interesting. It's just more exciting. It's more fun to watch there. So I'm super enjoying it. I do think it's transitioning. I've named my team Chicago Sky.
Chicago Sky.
Yeah, baby. So yo. Three brothers. I think we're unanimous in that, right? So
gotta give me some beer.
Yeah, Chicago Sky. Y'all need to hit us up. Yeah. We need to, you know, be y'all need to be an official sponsor of Three Brothers No Sense. So our partner with us. So I'm on the Sky, man. And I think I already mentioned it, so I don't want to belabor it. We are almost at an hour already. But I really think they are getting paid what makes sense for their organization right now.
And they get like a car and
housing while they're
And keep in mind, we're looking at rookie contracts. Like that's they're all we're looking at rookie contracts. Not that it's that much more, but like I'm sure it gets into the hundreds the longer they play.
Right.
And I think what hurt them in the past may be helping them now, Rosie. Like I think we really like when the WNBA first started, we were still into dunks and high-flying athletes and stuff. Not a lot of dunking in the WNBA, not a lot of that. But now the emphasis is on shooting. Like we're watching Boston, Miami now, and fast breaks, most times you'll see people shoot a three before you see them drive in for a dunk. Caitlin Clark can shoot the rock. We got women that can shoot the rock. Washington Mystics, they drafted a guard who's a great shooter. So as shooting has getting more emphasized, I think that helps the WNBA because that's what they're getting better at. They're never going to be the high-flying Vince Carter, Michael Jordan type dunkers.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it. I was going to bring that up is we talk about the WNBA's slogan at the beginning, you know, we got next, but they got we got next in the time when the NBA was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had the camps, we had the end of the, you know, not even the end. So we're saying 28 years ago. So this is the end of the Jordan era, right?
Yep.
So we're coming off of that. We're looking at all these high flyers, Kobe's, the Shaq's, all these people coming into their own. It was a different game and similar to the NBA. And I always try to compare it to the NBA of old. They almost went out of business, you know, the ABA-NBA merger, the fact that NBA games, believe it or not, weren't live at one point in time. They weren't televised live. You would have to, you know, tune in later that day to watch the Chicago Bulls game. You had to tune in later that day to watch the Lakers game. Shout out to Jerry Buss.
Like I say, it wasn't prime time either. You know, when you say later, you're tuning in at 9, 10 o'clock at night to watch the game if you didn't go see it.
And it goes back to what Byron was saying. I think, you know, you look at the talent at one point in the NBA. Go watch an old NBA game from the mid-80s.
70s. Early 70s,
You know, it was, you had your Dr. J's and a couple of people, but the skill level, like just watching people dribble and, you know, the it wasn't anything that got the people going.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was more so you supported your home team. In Alabama, you weren't really trying, you know, we didn't have a team. And so there might be people in Alabama or Mobile that weren't really trying to catch NBA like that because there's nothing in it for them. Mm-hmm. You know, the game wasn't exciting enough to, you know, really get behind 1,000%. So I think the WNBA, like we said, is at that point where, if handled correctly, can be where the NBA was around that Magic and Bird time when the NBA took off. Because the NBA was not always like this. I always go back to the fact that at one point in time, Magic Johnson, who's arguably one of the best players ever, signed a 10-year, $1 million contract. Granted, that was 40 years ago. Even with inflation, that's nothing, right? What I'm saying is the NBA did not have the funding. They didn't have the marketing to pay what they paid today. If Magic, you know, that he signed that contract and look into the future and see what freaking LeBron is making today. Hell, Jordan wasn't making money like that in the NBA. Let's call it what it is. You know, and so I think this is the right time. They just have to capitalize on it. I think one of the things they're going to do is find a interest, or increase the interest in women's sports for young girls too. Because that's the fan base. Because at the end of the day, as much as we want to support it, the NBA is right now a superior product. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll call it a superior product, but it's a product we're more familiar with as well. Look at the NFL and the UFL. We're going to always watch the NFL. The UFL is a great option for people who don't want to see, you know, they want to watch football, but the NFL, you really consider the UFL, when you think about football, you don't think about it. It's like, it's the same damn game.
All right.
It's the same damn game. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's not football. Yeah. Right. It's like, no, but he used to play for the football team that you like, but now he's in the UFL, but it's not football. Yeah. And so, and I know what they're making. You know, I don't know what their salaries look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's about what the WNBA is.
So you got to look at it. You're the second option. You got to accept that. Even at its height, the WNBA, if that 10 years from now the WNBA triples and quadruples in viewership, sponsorship, and everything like that, it will always be the second option to the NBA. There's always going to be an A and a B, right? And it's not all. And then if they get to the point where owners are investing and stuff like that, it's definitely not going to be equitable. I looked at something very similar because my daughter doesn't want to play basketball. She's more interested in dance, gymnastics, possibly becoming a cheerleader. So I was like, okay, professional cheerleaders. How much do they make?
Maybe $50,000 a year.
Not much.
Yeah. Guess who the highest paid cheerleaders are in the NFL?
Dallas Cowboys?
Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, they average about $75,000 a year, right? Other cheerleaders aren't making that. And it's because, why? Dallas Cowboys are one of the most profitable professional teams, period.
Yeah, I was going to say, not just football teams.
Yeah, professional teams, period. So they're paying that. So it's not going to be equal across the gamut. You know, I don't know. Maybe Falcons cheerleaders. I don't know. You know, what do Seattle Seahawks cheerleaders make?
Right.
Have you ever seen a Seattle Seahawks cheerleader? You know what I'm saying? So, but they're professionals. You know, they practice. They do all those things. It's going to be very interesting. So it depends on what the people want to see. And remember that they're always going to be second choice.
I don't think men should have ever been criticized for not supporting women. Any sport, right? Like, that's our choice. Women could have easily supported the WNBA long time ago. All the feminists should have been there, and they could have supported it. What they have supported is all these Real Housewives spinoffs. Okay? So, all these different love and hip-hop things and things like that. So, it's never been on men to support it. Now, I don't think men should be taking the cheap shots that they've taken at women, saying that, you know, it's trash and this, that, and the other. Like, but I don't think you can call men sexes and all this stuff just because we didn't watch it. We watch what we find entertaining. Like you just mentioned the UFL. Like, that's football too.
And it's mm-hmm. good.
You know what I mean?
But you go watch it. It's
but it ain't NFL.
Yeah. It's not NFL. It's first to market usually wins. I'm in sales. First to market usually sets the tone. You know, like, you have to really screw up to be.
It's the name brand versus the store brand, right? The store brand can taste exactly the same. They use the same ingredients, everything, but I still want that Kraft macaroni.
I don't want that great value.
We're not calling WNBA great value. Right?
I don't want that great value.
What I'm just saying is, it's going to take a lot, and it's going to start with female viewership. Is going to start with an increase in female athletes, like in female sports. Like, my daughter's going to want to have to play basketball. Like, my son may never play basketball on a team, but I guarantee my son's going to go outside and play basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Sky may not ever go outside and play basketball.
Right.
Right. You remember neither one of us are ballers,
mm-hmm.
but I had that basketball goal in the backyard that I played all the time. And, you know, because that's what we grew up doing. We just, that's part of what we do. The same way you're saying, Sophie is like into fashion and stuff like that. You know what? I think we're talking about this. The money follows the interest.
Mm.
You know, fashion. The women's fashion industry is, I don't even know how many more times profitable than a male fashion. Right, it's the fact that I don't even know if there's a such thing as a male supermodel.
Yeah, I think it was Tyson.
Last one. So, you know, we had to go. It's women's fashion. You know, the Met Gala. You know, like, all those things are catered about fashion, but it's more mainly women. You recently start seeing men take fashion risk and be more fashion forward and stuff like that. So, but that's where the. And it can sound sexist, but you follow the money. They always say, if you want to figure out what somebody cares about, follow the money.
Mm-hmm. And I think what Rodzy said with Title IX, it's like, it's all about growth. Like, the Caitlin Clarks, the Angel Reese's, they saw those women in the beginning stages of the WNBA. They finally had somebody not only doing something they like, but that they can identify with. And now they're coming up and they've improved on that skill. Same way the Dream Team, when they went overseas, and now you see what the NBA, like Dirk Nowitzki has said, it's because of the Dream Team that he wanted to play basketball. And that's why we're in this shooting era of basketball versus like dunks and all that stuff. It's because the Dream Team came, you had all these foreign players and stuff, you know, seeing what they enjoyed. And now you have people like Steph Curry that have adapted and can shoot from fucking half court now.
Mm-hmm.
And so with women, the skill is going to continue to get better because they've invested in young women sports, and hopefully the league will grow.
And that's this was my last point. And that's why, because I was always trying to figure out why it's women have more success abroad or / overseas playing, why the money's that much better, because the game is different.
Mm-hmm.
The game, that Euro game,
mm-hmm. yep.
is universal. And so you can take that game that you see in the WNBA and that skill set in the WNBA and take that to France, take that to Russia. You can take it because that's how they play. Mm-hmm. And still, that's why a lot of these foreign players come over here and dominate. If you remember in the draft, in WNBA draft, I think they had two or three foreign players get dropped to top 10.
Mm-hmm. One French, one South African, I think.
There was two from, I want to say, France. They were right behind each other.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Very interesting.
No, I didn't mean to take the whole show on
I think
question,
it's a hot topic.
That's how we do when we be in person.
It's a hot topic. Well, that was a fun episode. So let's wrap it up. We got the three brothers are fans of the Chicago Sky. We're excited about the WNBA. I think we're all going to get some Sky jerseys for our kids. And I think that's great. You know, like, I don't think my daughter doesn't even have any NBA jerseys.
Yeah, yeah.
So my kids don't have NBA jerseys. You know, I think the only jersey we have in our house is a FAMU basketball jersey. Yeah. So there's that.
Yeah, I'm taking the kids to a Chicago Sky when they come down to Atlanta. So yeah. That's crazy. The Atlanta Dream is here, but I still chose the Chicago Sky. Again, Angel Reese, shout out to her, because that's essentially the reason. And they got Cardozo, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So between both of them there, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's my team now.
And that's a whole other thing. And I'll talk about when the ladies come. It's just they have to capitalize what I was saying earlier, like being a Mobile, being in Alabama, you don't have a home team.
Mm-hmm.
So the WNBA has a, you know, they might miss out on fanhood. Well, we're all, the three of us said we're fans of the Chicago Sky. We're going to be fans of Chicago Sky. You got to go all the way to Atlanta. I think the closest team, I think Dallas might have a team.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas has a team. Y'all have a team.
Mm-hmm.
But you have all these other people that don't have teams.
Yeah, and it's only 12 teams, ain't
it?
Yeah. I think it's only
12.
Okay.
Yeah. It's, how does the NWNBA capitalize on it? Simply because as a fan, unless I drive to Dallas, I can't support.
Yeah.
But you want.
I think they are. They're talking expansion already. They're already expanding games. They're adding games next year.
They'll get up to 16 teams in a few years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But they got to strike soon. They need to start the expansion when Juju's rookie season, just so she can be a number one draft pick. And
to one of the new teams.
Yeah, we'll take him to Houston.
Oh, nice.
They can bring it back to. They can bring back the Comet.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that being said, three brothers, let's go ahead and close it on out.
I'm always talking about cycles on this show and like how everything seems to just be in a loop. And one of those loops now that we're in is feminists. They fought to be independent. They fought to get out there and work. And now this new phenomenon that's taken off from TikTok is trad wives. And these young people are like, wait, I don't want to work. So there was a controversial essay that someone wrote back in March, I believe. And it was like, why I chose to be a stay-at-home wife or whatever like that. And she literally was at Harvard and was like, why am I trying to study for all these exams when I can go find me a man that can take care of me and I can live this soft life? And that's what she did. I'm sorry, the essay was called The Case for Marrying an Older Man. She found a man that was 10 years older, and she got a lot of pushback on it. And that's always going to be a controversial thing because women do like their independence, but we're seeing more and more, at least younger women, that are saying, that's cool. I appreciate you liking your independence. I want to stay home and look pretty, do Pilates, have dinner waiting for my husband. And I think what Rozzy has kind of like pulled me back from at times is just pointed out that that's fine. In the end, women just wanted choice. And that's what they didn't have in the 50s and 60s. So yes, not every woman wants to work, but women want to have that choice on whether they work or stay home. But it's still funny to me that women fought so hard for these rights, and now these young women are like, yeah, it's not what I want.
Because nobody wants to work, bro. Yeah. We don't want to work either. I was
like, do they think anybody's like, man, I can't wait to work?
That's the viral question that's going around. Like, what was your dream job? I don't have a dream job. My dream was never to work. I don't dream about labor.
That's the thing we don't talk about. And then men are almost villainized because if they don't want to work, they're lazy. What kind of man doesn't want to work?
We don't even have that option.
Like, that's just okay, like...
We don't have that option. Right. I saw women criticizing men for calling AAA to change the tire. It's like, I know how to change the tire, but if I got on a good suit and I'm headed somewhere, I might call AAA if I'm paying for it. Right? Shit.
Because you know how AAA makes some money? A bunch of Negroes like us not using AAA.
but paying for it.
You know what I'm saying? Now, if I'm in my gym shorts and a t-shirt,
don't change it.
It's faster for me to go ahead and change.
Right, right,
or it's 112 degrees outside, and you like, or it's cold. It's just like, man, if I can get to the house, I mean, I'm about to change this tire, you know? But, That's always funny, is I always talk about that whole dynamic of, you know, the choice that both people usually don't have.
Right, right.
That equality is not usually equality. You know, it's... And you know, you... There's the... Maybe you do want to work, but you just want to work and spend your money. Keep your money, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which is generally not a choice that we have, you know. What kind of man gonna let the woman pay? Hell, we get criticized for having her pay half, let alone not work, let alone, you know, she pay all the bills and I pay, you know, I keep my money. Nah. So, you know, I don't know.
Another cycle we're seeing is before abortion was made legal, we saw and read stories of women self-aborting and things like that. As states have become more and more strict after the Supreme Court got rid of Roe v. Wade, we're slowly trending towards that again, where women are self-aborting. And now there are hotlines now that are manned by doctors that are like coaching them through on what to do. But you have some women that are taking the pill, the abortion pill, later than they should.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not able to get any help.
I think it's after 12 weeks, right?
Yeah. And doctors are afraid to even help them. So that's interesting to me because, you know, all these people having a say-so on what these women should do with their bodies. And I don't love abortion. I don't like it, but I'm not the one that have to carry it. So I just think I would say so should be limited on that, but getting rid of Roe v. Wade, man, that's going to be one of the big issues going into the election. And it's one of the few weaknesses that 45 has. The last thing I have is, man, I'm going to keep saying this. I read the newspaper. I said a few weeks ago that journalism is not dead. It is a lot less than it used to be, but a good example of good journalism is what the Washington Post did last year, where they exposed Cass Crafty, who was helping military families who had a loved one that was killed in action. He was helping them manage their money. He was sanctioned by the Department of Defense, by the Army. So families naturally trusted him because he had been in the Army. He had been endorsed by the Army, by the military, and he stole a lot of their money. Mm-hmm. What's the famous, the one that just went, he just killed himself too.
Madoff.
Yeah, he made off them. He made off them. But he didn't get found out until the Washington Post did some digging, did some investigating, exposed him. And then that led Congress and the Department of Justice to get involved. And now he is, I believe, going to prison for 10 years and has been ordered to pay back some of the money that I guess that he still has paid back to the family. So that's a good example of what good journalism can do. Unfortunately, we only like clickbait and we only like, you know, short sound bites. So it's not a lot of investment going into journalism, but it's out there. You just got to look for it. And I just want to give journalism their props, especially since we may have a journalist on the show very soon. So
nice.
Just wanted to put that out there. That's all I got.
Cool, cool. Speaking of journalists, a journalist broke the or reported on the Detroit Hollywood sign. I don't know if you guys have seen that, but Detroit is having a resurgence, and so they're starting to get some investment in everything, and people are getting eyes on Detroit again. And they commissioned a sign likened to Hollywood, right? They were like, we want a Detroit sign. When people pull up in Detroit, they're going to see this big sign, and you know, they'll be able to see the sign and know they're in Detroit.
And get robbed.
And get robbed. The commission, the city council, they you know, commissioned it, and they put a Detroit sign. It's 8-foot letters on the side of the interstate right in front of the projects. in like the worst font you can think of ever.
No.
And like, people talk about it immediately. Detroit, every citizen hates it or whatever. The city council is thinking about pulling it back down. It's bad.
Right. They should have just went with the D. So, for y'all that been to Vegas, there's a hotel in downtown Vegas called the D.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would have gotten them the publicity they wanted, because it's like, Detroit is known as the D, but mm-hmm. the D is also known as another D. But it just would have been, I think, a little more clever on their part. I don't know. But it's good to hear Detroit is coming back, because that city was...
That city was great for blacks at one time.
Yeah.
I mean, the Industrial Revolution, the migration of a lot of blacks from the South to metropolitan areas like Detroit helped shape a lot of the black wealth we did have. I would say do and did have. So, good luck, Detroit. Well, I don't really want to say much. I just want to just echo that it's been a pleasure being here with you guys. I'm just happy to be here. We got our homeboy, Mike McCoy, a.k.a. Bruce, has joined us. He snuck in with the fam. So we're getting ready to do this Rick Ross thing. Oh, appreciate it. So I urge people, I urge any of our male listeners, hell, even of our female listeners, you have some husbands, boyfriends, side pieces, whatever you want to call them. Guys' trips are good. You know, they need some guys' trips, get away, enjoy themselves, have fun, and just enjoy. So, yeah, they're going to get robbed. We're looking at the Detroit sign. They're going to get robbed. Don't go to Detroit, son. I'm just telling you.
Right. You can't even stop, take pictures by it. Like...
Oh, that was a Detroit sign. Pull over. So, you know, with that being said, Three Brothers No Sense. Oh, my bad. Shout out to Inspire You. New Beat of the Bay. Contentville, all that good stuff. So thank you for once again for giving us a platform to host our thoughts and piss people off as usual. I'm Tavares Ferguson, aka Ferg, everybody's favorite bad guy. Three Brothers No Sense, Six Rules of Podcast. Listen, like, share, subscribe, comment, and most importantly, listen again. That might have been 5 or 6, not quite sure. Talk to you next week.